This is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
It's four of the best for Portsmouth's women at Fratton Park.
One step over. She gets that shot away with her right foot. And what a finish. Very similar to the goal that Ella Humphrey scored. And her replacement, Daisy McLachlan, gets on the score sheet as well. And it's Portsmouth 4, Rugby Borough 0.
Two goals in each half at PO4 set the Blues on course for their 15th consecutive league victory and one huge step closer to the championship. Ella Humphrey was on the score sheet on Sunday. She'll be on the show to review the game and also discuss the motive behind her celebration.
Being a Pompey fan myself, I know that it means a lot to me and it means a lot to the fans. So yeah, I just wanted to go over there and, you know, show my family and just celebrate it with them, because obviously I know as a fan how important it is. So I didn't know what to do in the moment, so I think I kind of merged about four into one.
So the Blues are now potentially just one win away from promotion and the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division title. They could have it wrapped up this coming Sunday at MK Dons if results elsewhere go in their way. Head coach Jay Sadler has been highlighting the team's mentality and the importance of not getting too carried away until the job is done.
We've got four games left and we want four wins. We won't stop until we get four wins. And that is probably why this team are so relentless with everything they do, is they've got the blinkers on. It's one game at a time, and it genuinely is that, as boring as it may sound. We don't look too far ahead.
A full review of yesterday's 4-0 win over Rugby Borough to come between now and 7 o'clock. And we'll also catch up with our friends at Pompey in the community. CEO Claire Martin gives us an update on the John Jenkins Stadium work following the receival of a £10,000 grant from the EFL.
It's a really exciting time, but it's also been a challenge, let's put it that way, and it still is, because we've still got a lot of work to do.
And tonight we'll also be speaking live with Donald Vass and Simon Colebrook from the Pompey Supporters Trust, who will be here to analyse the results of their recent fan survey. It's been another excellent weekend for Portsmouth Football Club, and we've got all of the fallout here on the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Good evening. Welcome along to Portsmouth's Express FM, where you're locked in and ready for another hour of football talk, bringing you the latest from our great waterfront city with exclusive interviews, guest opinion, and, of course, the thoughts of you tuning in from back home too. Later on, we'll be talking to Donald Vass and Simon Colebrook from the Pompey Supporters Trust, as well as Claire Martin too, CEO of Pompey in the community. We'll also round up what's been going on in the League One picture from the weekend. No game for Portsmouth men due to the international break, but still three in their division that were on, including one match with potentially huge implications at Sixfields. We'll come on to that before seven. We also want to hear from you tonight, Blues fans, and the very best way to get in touch is through the Express FM app, which you can download now on iOS and Android devices. Otherwise, you can give us a text, 81400, start with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, at expressfm on X, or head over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But first, we turn our attention to a side of ours who were in action at the weekend, the Pompey women. Jay Sadler's side are on the cusp of promotion. You can almost taste the championship. It truly is just around the corner. The Blues were back at Fratton Park for their annual fixture at PO4 on Sunday afternoon, and they took on a resilient Rugby Borough side with six wins in their last seven and a position in third place on the table.
All the unmissable action.
Oh, and I believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
And Rugby Borough all in orange with black shorts getters underway, and the ball's pretty much kicked straight out of play. Emma Jones putting pressure on, and the defence have given it. Well, it's gone in. It's an absolute mess.
The goalkeeper came out way too far then, didn't she? And then that was it.
It just didn't help the fact that the rugby defence, I think it was Roberts at the back there for rugby, tried to pass it to Erin Foley, who was already on rushing. It just went beyond her. And suddenly Portsmouth have the lead. And it's not taken long at all. 5 minutes into this one. And Ava Robotham has sneaked in round the goalkeeper and from a very tight angle indeed, put Portsmouth 1-0 up, and that is the perfect start. Ella Humphrey one-on-one, trying to loft the goalkeeper, Erin Foley. Great effort from Ella Humphrey. Both hands in the air, left-footed, she does. And this time it's powered in, and Portsmouth get their second goal. And there was two or three Portsmouth players just crowding that goalkeeper. And it's in fact Lita Rutherford who's powered that header in. And it's Portsmouth 2, Rugby Borough 0. A great effort there. Fabulous connection from Lily Greenslade for an excellent save from Hannah Horton down to her left. And that's just indecisiveness, quite possibly, from Pompey. The half-time whistle has gone here at Fratton Park, and Portsmouth have, you know, had their chances. They've crucially taken those chances. Fabulous effort from Lucy Whip, and she did that in the first half, very late on. She's done it again. It's a shot from a good sort of 25, 30 yards out, but she kind of hit it with her side foot, and it had to be tipped over by Hannah Horton. Rugby with yet another corner. Rugby have a corner on the right-hand side. Delivered quite deep once again. It's headed away though, and a flick, and oof, that's gone into the side netting, thankfully for Portsmouth. Sophie Quirk charging towards the box. And in towards Ella Humphrey. What a finish! Ella Humphrey has been delighting us down that right-hand side this second half. To have sixth goal in Pompey colours, and I think that's the best of the lot. Portsmouth 3, Rugby Borough 0. Temma Jones, right at left-footed, swings a corner in, and a header. Oh, it's cleared off the line. Daisy McLachlan has got Freeland in front of her, gives it to Emma Jones on the left. Emma Jones from range. And it was just curling away from goal. It's unfortunate because it was a decent effort from Emma Jones. One step over. I just can't quite. Oh, she gets that shot away with her right foot. And what a finish. She's launched that towards goal and it's gone flying into the top right-hand corner. Very similar to the goal that Ella Humphrey scored. And her replacement, Daisy McLachlan, gets on the score sheet as well. It's a resounding 4-0 lead now. And there's no going back for Rugby Borough. Daisy McLachlan gets her second of the season. And it's Portsmouth 4, Rugby Borough 0.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, what a fantastic victory for Jay Sadler's Pompey women at Thratton Park yesterday afternoon. 4-0 winners over third place Rugby Borough. Rugby can now no longer catch Pompey in that race for promotion to the Championship. The only two sides that could be promoted this season are Pompey themselves and Hashtag United, who, by the way, Hashtag United were in FA Women's National League Cup final action on Saturday afternoon. They took on Newcastle United, who you may remember beat Pompey at the semi-final stage at St James's Park last month. And it was Hashtag United who came away from that game with a victory. So congratulations to Hashtag United. Doing the southern side of the FA Women's National League Premier Division. Very proud with that one. So a resounding 4-0 win for Pompey on Sunday. Ava Rowbottom and Lita Rutherford with first half strikes before Pompey fan Ella Humphrey in the second, rounded off by Daisy McLachlan with probably the best of a bunch in the 77th minute, giving Jay Sadler's side their 15th consecutive league victory. What a phenomenal achievement that is. They are now top of the table, of course. 51 points on the board, 8 clear of Hashtag in second with 4 games remaining. We just heard about Ella Humphrey then, Pompey fan and goal scorer on Sunday afternoon, her 6th of the season. And she was asked by Max Watton if days can get any better than that.
No, I don't think so. Obviously, coming to Fratton Park, my home ground, and starting as that was a really good thing in itself. And obviously, being able to get a 4-0 win and a goal is just an ideal day.
How do you summarise your emotions right now?
I think they're all over the place, to be honest. Obviously, we wanted to come in and get the win, and we did. But it was an emotional day. But obviously, just overall, really happy with it, how it went. It's kind of hard to put it into words, really.
Talk us through the goal.
If I'm honest, I can't really remember. I think I had so much adrenaline like running through me. I just remember sort of taking a touch inside and then thought, got to hit it with my left foot, and it's managed to go in. I haven't really seen where it's gone, but it's obviously gone in the back of the net. Just really happy to get the goal there.
And a Pompey fan scoring at Fratton Park for Pompey at the Fratton end. How did you sort of The celebrations were, I think there was about five in one there. What do you remember from that moment?
I remember going over to the girls straight away. And then I just wanted to go over to the fans. Obviously, being a Pompey fan myself, I know that it means a lot to me and it means a lot to the fans. So, yeah, I just wanted to go over there and, you know, show my family and just celebrate it with them, because obviously I know as a fan how important it is. But obviously, yeah, going over to the girls, and I didn't know what to do in the moment. So I think I kind of merged about four into one.
How do you think you and the girls dealt with the occasion today?
Yeah, I think we dealt with it really well. Obviously, you know, there's lots of different aspects you've got to deal with when it comes to the fans. Obviously, playing on grass pitch, we normally play on 4G. Different ground, obviously, it's a lot to deal with. But I think we all, you know, kept calm and collective, and we dealt with it really well. Obviously, it was a big game, but we managed to control our emotions and finish off the game well.
How important do you think it was to get that early goal as well?
I think it was really, really important. I think, obviously, you know, you want to start off the game strong. So, obviously, being able to get an early goal, we were able to relax with it and try and play with the ball a bit more. So it was really good that we could score, you know, get an early goal, and then we could sort of all relax and just play our football.
What was the message from Jay coming into the game?
Just to be positive and have a good time. And, you know, it's such a big occasion and, you know, all take it in, because stuff like this doesn't happen often. But it was just to enjoy ourselves, and I think we all definitely did that today.
Talking of enjoying yourself, you look like you're really laughing up the celebrations at the end as well.
Yeah, you've got to do it. I think, obviously, normally I'm the one watching down on the pitch, so being on the pitch celebrating was a really crazy experience. But obviously, yeah, you've got to make the most of it, and it was just really good to be able to do it with all the girls.
I've asked about Jay's message coming into the game. What did he say to you and the group of players afterwards as well?
Just how proud he was. You know, I think we all stay together through these moments, and it's such a big game and such a big occasion that he was just really happy with how we dealt with it, and we all deserved it, and yeah, he was just really happy.
And what were the scenes in the dressing room like at the end?
Crazy. Yeah, everyone was going mad. I won't say too much, but everyone was very happy.
Just finally, your message to the fans.
Thank you for all coming down. Great support as always. You can always hear them and you can always feel it. It's so good to get so many people, and to, you know, we just want to inspire as many people as we can. But yeah, just a big thank you to them.
I'm going to have one more on. What's your message to those thinking of coming down in 2 weeks' time when we play Plymouth?
I mean, you should have seen it today. It was unreal. Obviously, the more fans, the better. It's a great day out. You know, there's so much to do here as well. But you get to hopefully watch some good football. It's such a big game as well. But yeah, just get yourself down here.
Get yourself down there indeed. Over 2,000 Pompey fans at Fratton Park yesterday afternoon to see the Pompey women 4-0 victors over Rugby Borough. With now four games remaining, they could secure promotion away at MK Dons this coming Sunday. They would need to win and hope that hashtag United, who in their game next Sunday, they are playing Cardiff City on home soil an hour after, actually, Pompey kick off away at MK Dons. If hashtag drop points in that game and Pompey win, Pompey will be promoted to the Championship. If both sides draw, the gap will be 9 points with three games remaining, so it won't just be done quite then. So it will require a Pompey win and hashtag United to drop points at home to Cardiff City. Right, let's get more reaction to yesterday's win at Fratton Park. Conor Moseley has been speaking to Jay Sadler.
Jay, 4-0, that's as resounding as you could possibly get against a third-place team like Rugby Borough.
Yeah, I think we were ruthless. I won't lie, I think they played some real good football, had some real good rotations and caused us some problems, and probably had to wave a little bit of a storm. But that was after we got the early goal. I think the early goal probably settled the nerves, and we knew to get at them on the back line with the press, and Ava's taken that well. And then to get a cushion at half-time. But at half-time we came in, we were disappointed by how we played, which says a lot about this team. In the second half, I think we managed the game well. Two fantastic strikes and, as you said, resounding against a very good team.
And is that kind of cement promotion in your mind, or are you not even thinking about that? I know you've been saying game after game.
Yeah, no, we've just got to go and beat MK Dons away from home now. That's all we've got to do, just keep winning. We've got four games left and we want four wins. We won't stop until we get four wins. And that is probably why this team are so relentless with everything they do, is they've got the blinkers on. It's one game at a time, and it genuinely is that, as boring as it may sound. We don't look too far ahead, and we've done that today. And if we'd have taken our eye off, Rugby have got the quality individually and collectively to hurt us, and we saw that today. However, because of how focused this group are, that's why we got the win.
And you mentioned your finishes in previous interviews. I mean, they were outstanding to just keep Rugby at bay and really just stop their attacks in that. final 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, and we've been doing a lot of work with our psychologist about the terminology of it. I hate the term subs. I hate splitting subs, whether it be in a warm-up, whether it be in the dressing room. We're a collective unit. We're a squad. It's a squad game, not a team game, and certainly not a me game. And we've got no egos in the dressing room. And when they came on, it's going to be difficult for them because everyone wants to play on this pitch at this Amber Theatre, this occasion. But when they came on, they knew they had a job to do, whether it was playing 70 minutes, 90 minutes, or whether it was 3 or 4 minutes at the end. And I think when we did make the changes, Daisy's come on and been fantastic. Great goal for her. Even Ali Hall in the midfield, superb. Great shift from her. And the two at the end, just to see the game out and get the clean sheet, because that's the foundation that we've been built on, is a solid defensive solidity. In a way, we can see the 7 goals this season and another clean sheet here in front of the fans.
And how good was Ella Humphrey's performance after that first start last week?
Yeah, and she's been biding her time, bless her. We had, obviously, Beth Lumsden, who was a phenomenal player ahead of her. And then when we lost her to Newcastle, we brought in Daisy because of her experience. And maybe Ella hasn't had the game time she would have wanted. She hasn't had the opportunity that she's deserved. But as a true Pompey fan, she's shown a real good resilience about her. She was fantastic against Ipswich last game. Just ran her legs into the ground early. And then today, the planned substitution, and she's gone and cut in and hit one at top bins again at the front end, which is superb. And she got her jubilation at the end, and that'll be a moment that she'll cherish probably for the rest of her career.
So what's the plan between now and the MK Dons? Is it back to focus, or is this squad already excited for promotion now?
To be fair, we're going to go and have a chat with them now, but not one person has spoken about promotion. What I've said to them is don't talk about MK Dons yet. We'll wait to do that on Wednesday. But from now till Tuesday, we'll focus on what we can be better, because I still don't think the fans saw the best version of us today. I think they saw it in spells, and we're consistently becoming better. But the aim is to have a consistent performance over 90 minutes. So our aim is to get back in, pinpoint where we can continue to improve and get better, and then ensure that we're fully prepared and ready. But the one thing when you do play in an amphitheatre like this and we put in a performance like that is enjoy it. I think football is relentless business, and everything is about the next game, the next game, the next game. And actually, you've got to enjoy the present. You've got to enjoy the moment. You've just come in front of 2,200 fans. You've won 4-0. It's cemented where you are in the league, and it's a massive win because the pressure was on us today. Hashtag winning the cup final yesterday, and fair play to them. Today was about us cashing in that game in hand, and each to a player and each to a staff member, they've done that, and I'm ultimately proud of them.
Jake, thank you very much. And good luck for MK Dons and ultimately Plymouth.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Yeah, big congratulations to Jay Sadler and the Pompey women for another huge victory yesterday afternoon at Fratton Park. A reminder, they take on MK Dons this coming Sunday at Stadium MK. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff. A win and dropping points for Hashtag United elsewhere could see Pompey promoted to the Championship. If not, they'd have to do it the following week. They take on Plymouth Argyle back at home, back at Wesley Park, the 7th of April, again at 2 o'clock kickoff. So keep your eyes peeled on our social media channels for more in the build-up to both of those games. And a big shout-out, of course, to both Connor Mosley and Kirsty Roxanne on their commentary debuts at Fratton Park yesterday afternoon. Superb achievement for both and a brilliant broadcast as well. Right, on to Pompey in the community now and the John Jenkins Stadium. It was announced towards the back end of last week that Pompey in the community have received a £10,000 grant from the EFL Building Foundations Fund to help make a difference at the John Jenkins Stadium. I've been speaking to CEO Claire Martin, who tells us more about it and the impact it will have.
Well, it's massive. I think everybody knows that the challenges that we've faced with inflation and increased costs. So there's lots of things that are sort of vital but aren't actually included in the contract. So all the sorts of things that we need now to make it safe and make it look great. So there's some in there for a bit of landscaping for the beds, there's signage, there's some benches, there's a couple of speed bumps. So it's all the little things that really, where our funding has been so stretched, we haven't been able to do. So it's absolutely fabulous and make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And how does Pompey in the community become eligible to receive these kinds of grants?
Well, it was offered to every CCO, so that's a community club organisation. So most of the 72 clubs, I think all of them actually, have got a charity affiliated. So it was open to all of the affiliated charities, and I think 62 of them applied out of the 72, something like that. So, it was great to have that news this week.
And not only that, but Utilita have also provided a big helping hand to piecing together the John Jenkins Stadium. But what exactly is it they've been doing to support?
Oh, Utilita have been incredible. So they provided all the solar for us. So we've got a 5-year partnership. So we, hopefully, with the excess electricity we can sell back to the grid, we'll be almost cross neutral on our solar power. So we're only on half charge at the moment. So we're using half of the panels to help subsidise the third of the building that's nearly open. So that's massive. And some local companies as well that have got involved have been incredible. Like Safe View CCTV have done all our CCTV at cost for us, been to pay for the cameras, they fitted it all. We've got Harnesses who do safety railing. They did all of the railing around the roof, which utilities contractors on the solar said were the best they've seen, just to make the roof safe. Wicks have done an incredible job, provided us with the furniture for the tea hut, a whole load of paint that volunteers came in and helped with. Griffiths, who are doing the cycle lanes in the city, also came in and done some groundworks for us at the back. So now we've got access behind the pitch and up to the little environmental hub. So the response from the community has just been incredible. And where I mentioned the signage in there, Hampshire Flags are actually helping us with some of that signage as well. So we're getting an awful lot of signage for, you know, less funds than perhaps it would cost at full go. So, yeah, if there's any other companies out there who want to get involved, then let us know. We've still got a long way to go, but we're hoping that phase one and the pitches will be completely open imminently.
Yeah, cracking stuff. And if anybody is listening who thinks they may be able to offer some help to Pompey in the community, then please do. And it's great to see, Claire, that these local businesses help you guys out when for so long it's been Pompey in the community offering their assistance to the local community. So it's nice to hear that kind of help being provided, well, both ways, really.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. And to be honest, you know, when you're doing a project like this, you know, often people say, oh, you know, Contra is not such a, but for us it's as valuable as money, and sometimes even more valuable because it's heartwarming as well. So some of these companies that have come in and helped, just incredible. So it's a really exciting time, but it's also, you know, it's been a challenge, let's put it that way, and it still is, because we've still got a lot of work to do.
And just finally, you mentioned there that the facility is partially open with the pitches all laid out already in use. When would you envision the full completion of the John Jenkins to be done?
Well, we've split the finish of the building into three. So phase one, which is the one that's imminent, is all the changing rooms, the boxing gym, the community hub dance studio, and everything we need to use the pitches. Pitches are actually finished, but obviously we need now access to the changing rooms and things so we can utilise them fully. And then that leads us on to phase two, which is all the classrooms, the reception area, and phase three, which is the upstairs cafe and bar. So those are not massive building jobs, they're more fit out. Because obviously, you know, the heating's sort of in and a lot of the first fix is in. So it's just fit out and finishing. So we're hoping. But if I've learned one thing during this construction is I'm not going to put a date to it, because there's always something.
CEO of the Pompey community there, Claire Martin, speaking about the John Jenkins Stadium and their recent £10,000 grant from the EFL Building Foundation's fund in regards to trying to help to get that build over the line. Right, after the break, we'll be back with even more Pompey discussion, and we'll introduce both Donald Vass and Simon Colebrook from the Pompey Supporters Trust to talk about their recent fan survey. So don't go anywhere.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, where before the break we had a full breakdown on the Pompey women's 4-0 victory over Rugby Borough at Fratton Park, as well as an update from Claire Martin on Pompey in the community and the John Jenkins Stadium work. But now we move on to the Pompey Supporters Trust, who recently put out a survey for supporters to get involved and provide feedback on what they find most important at the football club and what they believe is going well as what isn't going so well. I'm delighted to say that Chair of the PST, Donald Vass, joins us live on the Football Hour this evening, alongside Treasurer Simon Colebrook too. Donald, 2,418 fans got involved with this and fed back their thoughts. How important is it for you and the rest of the PST to have had this response come through?
Yeah, I have to say I'm really thrilled with the fans' response. It's amazing to have so many people give us their thoughts and give us their views. I think, you know, we're probably all guilty of it at times. We probably all think, you know, we know exactly how Pompey fans think and feel. And, you know, all my mates think this down the pub. And so, you know, I speak with authority. But actually to have a full data set of a large number of Pompey fans, I think allows us to have a really good insight into the thoughts and feelings and priorities of the fan base. And I think that's going to really, really help us moving forward.
Simon Colebrook, former chair of the PST, but now back in the treasurer role, is also alongside us this evening. Simon, what did you make of the survey response and why is such feedback important to you?
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think it's really important as well for those of us who sit on the trust board. You know, there's sort of 10, 12 of us who meet up and discuss the things that we think are important. You know, it's really important that we make sure we're reflecting what the fans think is important, so that it's not just, you know, the thoughts of a little group. We're kind of carrying forward the issues that are important to fans when we're talking to the club.
And Donald, you've been chair of the PST since December, taking over things from Simon. How have you found the role and the responsibility it brings?
Yeah, I'd have to say hugely enjoying it. I've always found the club to be brilliant to work with, actually. You know, Andy Cullen is so open and I think he really does make fan engagement really central to everything he does. You know, I was just chatting to Simon a little bit off air actually about Lincoln tickets and how they're going to be allocated. And already actually, you know, the club have sort of reached out and, you know, they want to make sure that it's something that works for fans, and you know, they're sort of running their plans by us and just sort of making sure that that's logical and sensible and fair, obviously, most importantly. So yeah, I've always found the club brilliant to work with, and it's been very much in that vein since I've started.
As a result of Donald stepping up to become chair, Simon, you've gone back in the opposite way to reinstate your position as treasurer. How are you finding the change?
I first joined the trust board in 2015 as the treasurer. So I was treasurer for 2 years leading up to the point where we sold the club. And so, you know, in some ways it's kind of like going back to my old role, and I'm a chartered accountant as well. So it's a natural fit. So in terms of, you know, the role itself, you know, it's kind of bread and butter. It's not, you know, it's, my day job is being the accountant of a local business. So yeah, it's pretty familiar territory for me.
So, in your opinion, Simon, what was the most important part of a survey that came back for the PST and club to look into?
Well, I think it's two bits of questions that I was really keen to see answers on were the priority list, if you like, of the issues that are important to fans, and then how satisfied they were against that same list of priorities. And there's some really good analysis there of, you know, of tracking the satisfaction level against the importance level. Because if people, you know, if there was something that people really aren't very interested in and the club, they don't feel the club's doing a very good job of it, then it's probably not a big deal. But if there's something that really, really is top of the importance list and has got a low satisfaction level, then it's something that really needs to be focused on. So I think that those two sets of questions and tracking the correlation between them gives some really good information as to what we need to focus on to talk to the club and what the club need to focus on. And in fairness to the club, I think, you know, Andy and the other people at the club really get that importance of that, of those two kind of metrics, if you like.
And from the report, Donald, it was found that the three most important areas, according to those who took the survey, were the men's first team, Fratton Park, and the financial sustainability of the football club. I guess that comes as no real surprise, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, no one's going to be surprised to see the men's first team at the top of the list for both, you know, importance and happiness for fans. I have to say, I found the fact that fans were so wedded to the financial sustainability quite interesting. I would possibly say, no, not unique to Pompey fans. You know, that's certainly a real trait of our fan base. You know, we all know the financial history of the club and how much we were sort of burned, you know, a decade or just over ago. I think actually to see there that financial sustainability is not only one of the most important topics to fans, but one of the things fans are happiest about at the moment. I mean, that is, you know, the work of over a decade. You know, a lot of work's gone into getting it to this point. You know, had you told us all in 2013, you know, up in 2024, you know, this is going to be one of the things fans are happiest about at Pompey, you know, we'd have all been thrilled. I think the obvious question that leads, you know, with the team doing as well as they are, is that, can you continue that in the Championship? Right now, fans have told us, you know, they're really, really happy with the financial position of the club. Will that still be possible in that, you know, crazy division where the average loss every year is £16 million? I think that really is the kind of central question that came out of this from me. You know, fans love this. They love the fact that actually we don't worry about finances anymore. How's that compatible with life in the Championship? Will we be able to do that and compete at a good level in Tier 2? I think that's a really open question that I think actually the next few years we'll really centre on.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a bit of a debate going on within the world of football as to what does the word sustainable actually mean. And as it happens, and Donald doesn't even know this yet, but I'm in the process of writing up the review of the accounts that are going to be published at the end of this month, and sort of in dialogue with Tony Brown, as I do every year. And yeah, I'm not going to talk about what the accounts say at the moment, but you know, what we've seen in the past sets of accounts in previous years is a continued support by the owners into the football club. You know, and you know, it does leave open the debate about, you know, if you're operating in an environment where the owners have to keep funding an operating loss, is that sustainable? What does sustainability really mean? You know, can any football club at any level actually maintain its status and progress if it seeks to not make a loss? And those are really open questions that actually go to the heart of everything that's happening in football, including the independent regulator with the bill that was published on Tuesday. There are some sort of big questions at the heart of that, of this issue of sustainability and what it means. And I don't think any club really at any level has really got a grip of that, because you see, I can't think of any club off the top of my head that continually and sustainably does not make losses. You know, there's certainly none in the Championship, none in the Premier League, and I don't think any in League One.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting point as well, Donald, isn't it? As Simon's quite rightfully alluded to, when you reach the Championship and the Premier League, it doesn't really matter how well run you are as a football club. Actually running profits is extremely hard to achieve. But with this new legislation, again, as Simon's mentioned there, that was introduced last week, granting powers to a football regulator, that kind of news, I'm sure, will be welcome all across the Football League, especially with what's been happening with a lot of football clubs lately. Pompey, of course, back on track, but no such fortune for the likes of Bury, Macclesfield, Reading going through some tough times now too. This can only be good news for football, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're all right behind it. The club are right behind it, and I think the owners and directors of Pompey are optimistic actually that it's going to level the playing field a little bit for us financially. And then, you know, I've just mentioned, you know, the average cost in the Championship recently was £16 million a season. You know, that makes life very hard for Pompey. And actually, if that is brought down and gets to a more sustainable level playing field, then actually, you know, we will be able to compete at a much higher level and be able to do that more organically without needing to sort of either have the owners inject a lot of money and hopefully, you know, without needing to sell too many of our sort of prized assets as well. So I think, you know, it would be a very positive thing for Portsmouth Football Club.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, Simon, I know you said you're taking a look into the accounts now, but when you take a bit of a step back and look at where the football club is at the moment, not on the pitch, but behind the scenes, the way it's being run sustainably as well. If you throw back to what was now 7 years ago when Tonante took over, what kind of comparisons can be drawn between this regime and the PST era?
Certainly during the fan ownership era, we were running very much on a, we will not make a loss, because ultimately there was no sugar daddy to go back to say, you know, give us a couple of million quid. So, and it's very difficult to compare, because in League Two, our sort of natural gate level meant that our ticket income was enough to sustain a football club at that level without making losses. So we were very comfortable in League Two as the big club in the pool with the highest revenues. Moving into League One, you know, and we did a little bit of this sort of analysis at the time when we were sort of weighing up the bids. It was very clear that without any cash without any need for regular cash injections, Pompey would have been very comfortable as a mid-table League One club without any question. And probably one that would challenge for the playoffs every year. Where it started to then become a little more difficult is guaranteeing you're going to be challenging for those top two places when you had every year a couple of clubs drop down from the Championship with some big crowds. So, you know, I mean, and the timing wasn't great for us because just as we got into League One, Sunderland dropped out of the Championship, still receiving parachute money. And, you know, and so over those 7 years, we've had, Sunderland, Derby, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, who all regularly would carry massive wage budgets, which would have been very difficult to compete with on a purely organic income basis. So, yeah, I wouldn't characterise the financial position we're in now as necessarily better than than we had under the fan ownership. I think it's just met a different kind of challenge and done in a way that is probably the only way it could have been done, you know, without magicking of a 40,000-seater stadium, which was full every week, out of thin air. You know, I think... Yeah, we're in a good place, you know, but I certainly wouldn't try and draw many comparisons to where we were in the fan ownership period.
And Donald, if you're looking at examples of fan ownership and how it really can work and succeed, Pompey's got to be up there with one of the best examples, hasn't it? We know AFC Wimbledon rising as a Phoenix club and doing it themselves for a very long time as well. But when you look at where the Blues were in the late noughties heading into the 2010s, the Pompey Supporters Trust doing a fantastic job to step in and all of those fans to get together, pledge their money to keep the club alive. That is a great testament to this city, the people of it, and yeah, just a really great example to the rest of the footballing community, not just in the UK, but the entire world as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It remains an incredibly proud moment for me. I'm looking at the moment at a big picture up on the wall with, you know, the Hours fan tifo, and actually, you know, what a moment that was. You know, the pride we felt to take over the club. And I think actually, you know, I know there are differing opinions about the owners, although the survey would suggest most fans are happy about most things. But actually, I would reflect even upon exiting community ownership, you know. They had to come to us and present at the Guildhall and it got put to a vote. You know, we had a say on the future of our club, even exiting community ownership. And actually, you know, there are not many fans of many clubs who decide on who their owners are. And we did, you know, we effectively chose the Eisners. You know, we agreed to sell to them. And actually, I think even that was a very powerful moment. You know, they had to come and pitch to our community.
And as a result of that, you know, I think, one of the things that pleases me is when I look down the list of outcomes of the fan-led review and the things that are in the legislation around the independent regulator, you can look down the things that the regulator is going to insist football clubs have to get their licence. And in most of those cases, we've got them already. You know, golden share, yep, we've got a form of a golden share. Fan consultative body, yep, we've got one of those. So we, you know, we've been there with those structures in place, which were put in place as we sold the club to make sure that we were in the best place we could be as a fan, kind of fan-led club, even if we're not a fan-owned club. And one of the sort of points of, I guess, of pride for me coming out of fan ownership is the fans did this amazing thing of saving the football club. And in the end, it didn't cost them a penny because we gave them their money back. And that is, you know, I think an astonishing sort of part of that story of those 4 years of fan, well, the 2 years of struggle, the 4 years of ownership, that we got the money together, we saved the club, and then we gave it back to the people. You know, it's pretty special.
Yeah, very, very special indeed. Right, time is, as ever, escaping us here on the Football Hour. So let's head for a very quick break and join Donald and Simon for more of their debrief on the PST fan survey in just a few moments' time.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7pm every day, you can take advantage of a Knight Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Knight Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Welcome along to the third and final part of the Football Hour here on Express FM, where you tune in halfway through our big talk with Donald Vass and Simon Colebrook from the Pompey Supporters Trust. Before the break, we spoke a lot about finances in football and the growth of the football club under the ownership of Tornante. But going back to the survey, Donald, we mentioned before the break about what has been found to be the most important thing to Pompey fans, but you alluded to a couple of points in regards to what they are most happiest with. The first being the men's first team, the second being the financial sustainability of the club, the third is feeling safe at the stadium. All scored out of five, the men's first team ranked 4.18. Financial sustainability of the club, 3.97, and feeling safe at the stadium was 3.9, coming in at third. I think the first team of the men's probably speaks for itself at the moment. We've been talking about the finances and the growth of the club off the pitch, so let's talk about the feeling safe at the stadium part. We know the club has put a lot of money into Fratton Park all across the ground. It's really a completely different stadium compared to, you know, even just 2 or 3 years ago. You can see it's being moulded into, you know, a kind of venue that's not only appealing to the eye for supporters, getting more fans through the turnstiles, but it's also reaching the standards that are set by the EFL and the Safety Advisory Group too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? We all take it for granted, but it's nice to see that up there. You know, it's one of those things. It, had that been down the bottom, that would be absolutely catastrophic. So, yeah, I'm pleased about that. One other sort of feature of the survey I'd just pick out as a positive, I'd say, is ticketing. So I know this has been a big form of discussion online at the moment. This has caused a lot of healthy debate amongst fans about, you know, loyalty points and who should get the tickets. I think one of the sort of the key stats that came out of the survey actually was that 74% of fans are supportive of the loyalty point system and back the way the club distribute those. Just because I think that was... really up for debate. You know, inevitably at the moment we're in the context of a promotion season where everyone's wanting tickets, everyone wants to be there at Bolton and Lincoln and wants to be at those high profile games, and inevitably some people will be a bit disappointed when we get small allocations, but I thought it was great to see that a big majority of Pompey fans actually back the way those are distributed.
And it's one of those areas, isn't it, Simon, the loyalty point system, where, you know, as Donald's raised, almost three quarters of supporters who took the survey are happy with the current format that is in place. But it is one of those areas where I guess you just cannot simply please everyone. No matter what approach you take, somebody's going to be upset.
Absolutely. It's kind of, there is no right answer to this. You know, we've had many discussions with the club through the Tony Goodall Fans Conference, you know, with all of the supporter groups about finding the right solution that kind of, I suppose, ticks the most boxes. And at the heart of this is, you know, basically we reward the loyalty of the fans that go to the most games, and finding that's kind of balance between trying to offer accessibility to tickets and rewarding that without locking games into a kind of very small group has been a real challenge. And, you know, and particularly, you know, Lincoln's going to be very tough because it's going to be a pretty small allocation. You know, probably, you know, 10% of their ground is about 1,000. Last year we got 1,300. So, you know, and I would imagine, given the situation, if we had a completely open free-for-all, we'd probably take 5,000-6,000. Quite easily. But, you know, unfortunately, they probably don't want to let us have half the ground. I think the club's done probably the best it can with the loyalty system. Personally, I'm very supportive of it. I think it manages to reward those people who kind of, you know, put their hands in their pocket and buy the tickets for the most games. So, yeah, it's good.
Now, we spoke back in September, Donald, at the unveiling of the Jimmy Dickinson statue outside of Fratton Park and how well that went down with supporters. Unsurprising to see how highly it was rated in the happiness levels from the survey, but only 99.4. What are the 0.6 thinking? I didn't think there was anything wrong with the statue whatsoever.
We're absolutely thrilled with that. You know, no qualms at all with the 0.6. I should say, Jay, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you actually, but I think the other project we're doing, the street art mural, is at least partly your fault, because at that unveiling, one of the first questions you asked me was, have you got any plans to do anything else? You know, what about all the other Pompey legends we've got to honour? And so we've taken that away, and actually that, you know, off the back of that, we've gone away and we've created this street art mural project. We're going to be announcing the results of that separately, but very shortly. And it's going to be up in time for the Derby game on Tuesday, the 2nd of April. It's going to be six, you know, fantastic Pompey legends up on that wall. So I think, you know, very much you're doing, Jake.
Well, thank you very much. I can only apologise for making you do even more work, eh?
And I just want to credit the Arts Council, who are providing us with some of the funding for this. So we applied for a grant through the Arts Council for basically creating works of art within the Portsmouth area. They've some of that funding has gone to support the statue, and then some of it will also be used to create this mural. So it's been particularly welcome.
And just as a little extra, we're really making this money sweat, because there's actually going to be a third little mini project off the back of this as well. There's going to be a Portsmouth FC photo exhibition that I think is going to be held in the summer, which that money is also going to be going towards. So again, thank you very much to the Arts Council.
Brilliant stuff. Really pleasing to hear all of that. While we're on the subject of art and murals, many have been asking about the behind of a Milton End bit, you know, the bit underneath the new boards that have been put up on the outside. Do you have any sort of information that could clarify why Portsmouth Football Club are unable to touch that? I'm of the understanding that it's actually one of the designated graffiti areas in the city.
My understanding is, as you say, that's kind of fallen into regular use as a sort of a graffiti wall now. And I think once people, you know, once sort of people that like to do graffiti sort of know an area that, you know, that's a wall you can use, you're safe to graffiti there, it becomes very difficult to then reverse that and change that. And of course, if we were to spend a lot of money now putting up a lovely mural there, I think the likelihood is that would get graffitied on very, very quickly.
Yep, that makes total sense. So let's move on to talk about one or two final things then. 91% of supporters believe the match day experience has improved at Fratton Park over the last 2 years, which again is another great item to read from this survey. There is actually a matchday experience fans group that was set up by the club probably about 2 years ago now, where supporters come together quarterly with Andy Cullen always in attendance alongside representatives from the ticket office, head of stewarding, marketing, the media team, even Steve from Piglet's Pantry too. Would you say that this matchday experience group has made a big impact into, you know, raising those satisfaction levels of the overall experience fans have at the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the things I was most pleased about, actually, because I think it shows the power of effective fan engagement. 91% of Pompey supporters feel like the matchday experience has improved as a result. That's amazing. That's fantastic. So everyone's day at Fratton Park now is better as a result of that group's work. So just in case people haven't been following that closely, and that's fine. One of the things they've produced is actually the Fratton End fan zone. You know, I'm really looking forward to it, to the next couple of games. You know, the sun's going to be shining. We're going to be sort of in party mode, hoping for promotion. You know, there'll be thousands of Pompey fans behind that Fratton End, you know, drinking in the better quality beer that, again, the fans have suggested, and the lovely Piglet's Pantry's sausage rolls, which again, sort of fans have in that group have sort of steered the club towards. So yeah, there's all sorts of things actually that fans have improved for the better there. And I love that the club are so willing to engage with fans, listen to them, and actually action their suggestions.
So two topics the Pompey supporters are supposedly less happy with then: transport links to the stadium and the youth academy as well. Should we start on the transport links to the stadium? Portsmouth as a city is very densely populated. There aren't many routes onto the island, and the Eastern Road is shut almost every other day at the moment. How do or how can the football club and the PST act to try and help with these concerns?
Yeah, I think it's no surprise to see that at the bottom. So, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of discussion about that over recent months, and I think we're all familiar with the sort of situation as it is at Fratton train station. I think at least part of that result is sort of wider problems, which probably are outside the club's control in terms of, we all know trains have been a bit of a nightmare over the last couple of years. And actually, you know, that really does impact fans getting to games. There are probably some aspects of that that are slightly more within the club's control, you know, things like operating a sort of park and ride system, for example, that I know the club are sort of keen to work with the city and sort of get established. So there's things like that that we, you know, we can continue to push the club on and sort of press for further improvements.
And the youth academy, is this an area the PST are in dialogue with the club about to see if that is something that can be focused on a bit more in the near future? You know, whilst there has been investment and upgrades, there is some concern that the academy structure hasn't reached the levels some fans may have hoped.
I think this was a really interesting part of the survey, actually, to see that fans weren't particularly happy with the youth academy. I think this is a really sort of topical thing as well, because I think this week it's been announced that almost all of the club's second and third year scholars are going to be released. You know, it's not been a particularly great crop of academy youngsters in terms of sort of reaching the first team. And so I think it's one of those things that the fans have seen a lot of visible progress in a lot of other areas. You know, the men are top of the league, the women are top of the league. Fratton Park's the best it's been in ages. We're all familiar with the training ground investment. It's harder to see that progress in the youth academy. And I think it's not unreasonable for fans to be thinking, where's the progress here? I think what I would say in mitigation to that is success in the youth academy is always appears on a bit of a delay. You know, if you are successful in your youth academy now, you might start seeing the fruits of that in several years' time in terms of actual players reaching the first team. So I'm personally willing to give the club a bit more time on that, because I think actually Greg Miller has overseen some positive changes, as I understand it. And I think, you know, we hopefully will see the benefit of that in years to come rather than right now.
So overall then, Donald, this fan survey, the results from it and the feedback you've received from the Pompey supporters, what kind of learnings can you take and how much can this help you to work with the club and all of its partners to acknowledge the factors that have been raised and help the fans with what they've fed back?
Yeah, I have to say, I think it's been a really brilliant exercise for us, and it's been really useful for us to see where fans are at. And in all these meetings that we have for them, you know, we meet with the owners, we meet with Andy Cullen, we meet with the ticketing team and so on. You know, it gives us a real platform to be able to say, look, you know, this is how fans feel. We've spoken to fans, we've listened to them. This is what they want to see. And so every single person that took part, I can honestly say, you know, your views are listened to and your views will be put forward to those people at the very top of the club. So actually, I think this has been a really positive way for us to sort of take things forward. Hundreds and hundreds of people that completed the survey submitted specific questions that they'd like us to put to the owners and to put to the club's directors. And, you know, we will absolutely be doing that. And the thing we really want to do is then be able to say what's happened as a result of what fans have asked for. So, you know, hold us to account for that and keep looking out for that, because, you know, we will be feeding back to fans on what's happened as a result.
Donald Vass, Chair of the Pompey Supporters Trust, thank you very much again for your time this evening and for your insight into the recent fan survey. Really appreciate your time and openness about it all.
Yes, thank you very much.
And the same, of course, goes to Simon Colebrook, Treasurer of the PST. Simon, cheers for coming in to speak with us tonight.
No problem. Thank you very much, Jake.
OK, let's move on to a bit of news elsewhere then. Some kick-off time changes. Whilst we've been on air this evening, the Pompey women have announced that Sunday's trip to MK Dons, that will now kick off at 5:30 at Stadium MK, and that final game of the season for Portsmouth men away at Lincoln City on Saturday the 27th of April has been moved to a 12:30 kick-off at Sinsel Bank, in line with the rest of League One. There was a big result for Pompey's men at the weekend. They weren't in action, but another positive Saturday for them without kicking a football. Derby County in second place, losing by 1-0 away at Northampton Town thanks to a first half strike from Sam Hoskins. Sonny Bradley was also shown a straight red card, so he'll be suspended for 3 matches, meaning he will miss the visit to Fratton Park next Tuesday night. So a big blow for Derby County, but a bit of a positive for Pompey. And also Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, the winger formerly of Pompey, of course, and Dwight Gale possibly out for the Pompey game as well, both suffering with injuries over the last week or so. And whilst we are here, we show our support to Pompey loanee winger Abu Kamara, who is on loan from Norwich City. Norwich City sporting director Stuart Webber in the Eastern Daily Press recently with some unsavoury comments towards the likes of Abu Kamara and some of the Norwich City representatives. There has been a Norwich statement since then saying the club would like to make it clear that some of the comments in this interview do not in any way reflect the wider views of the football club. And Abu Kamara has put a statement out on X as well, saying, "My family and I are deeply saddened and shocked by the comments made by Stuart Webber in a recent press article. I want to say all the black and ethnic minority children, you don't have to be a professional athlete to avoid living a life of crime. I'm proud of where I come from and acknowledge the sacrifices my family have made in order for me to have a career in football. These remarks are a sign that there is still a long way to go to be treated equally. You can be whatever you want to be, so long as you work hard, believe in yourself and be consistent in what you do." And Norwich City go on to say that club representatives have focused on speaking directly with Abu Kamara and Jonathan Rowe to understand their concerns and offer support. And they're also engaging in dialogue with Kick It Out as well. Right, that brings an end to this evening's edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. Big thank you to the likes of Ella Humphrey, Jay Sadler, Claire Martin, Donald Vass and Simon Colebrook too. We'll be back this Thursday evening from 6 o'clock to preview the Good Friday trip to Wycombe Wanderers on Friday afternoon. But until then, Blues fans, have yourself a fantastic evening. Have a safe week. And up next with the Soft Rock Show is Jeff Dorsett.